Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
To come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You are joining us for our first show of May 2017, which happens to be on Cinco de Mayo, which will also be the year that we turn 5. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. That's a terrible intro, but hey, it's all right. We're here at Cinco de Mayo. I'm powered by margaritas. I'm happy.
It's also the fifth strikes back.
The fifth, yes, okay,
and
for you Star Wars
tomorrow,
fans.
Tomorrow, Christine, it's
going to be Revenge of the Sixth.
And then what's the day after that? 7, 8, 9?
Yeah, episode 7, The Force Awakens. 8 would be The Last Jedi.
Keep going.
9 will be from
TBD.
His nap.
What's June 10th?
6 days after my birthday?
Yeah.
Because that's all that matters. Are you the kind of person, Christine, whose birthday lasts for an entire month?
After how long my birthday has been ignored, yes.
So you're adding all of the birthdays that you felt that weren't,
yes.
Weren't, and then you're adding those all together.
Yes.
Into,
and okay. He gets the same thing. Our daughter got the same thing. Our son got the same thing. You would, too, if you wouldn't lie about when your birthday was.
Hey, you know what? I'm only 8 years old. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you're
about.
5.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, I act like I am. Anyway, welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Here we are. First edition of May 2017. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm here with my compatriot and co-host, JT. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Yeah, you feeling okay?
I'm feeling good? All right. I got a little weird today with like a...
You got a little weird at
got
work,
a little huh? weird at work today. It was like a little cold setting in. And
oh, man.
But I'm pushing through, so.
Okay, well, let us know
fine.
How you feel. Okay, good.
Yeah, if I hurl on the microphone, you'll know that I'm not good.
All right, everybody, it's time for After Buzz. Okay.
Right.
Anyway.
And, I am not cleaning that.
All right, and sitting across from JT is Christine, who is bringing in much-needed feminine presence. She's the sane one, and that's saying something. And we're very happy to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Now, since this is a first show of the month, that means we're ending it with After Dark.
Yes.
And
we'll have a clear designation.
A clear cutoff point.
Yes.
We're going to bob at that thing.
So that's when I run away, right?
Yeah, well, yes. Or we could bring a treadmill and you could just run in place. I mean, that's the other thing. However...
Yeah, I don't run really well.
You don't run. Yeah, it's okay.
Not unless there's zombies chasing me.
You know, there's an app for that.
There's an app for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's very true.
Let's not go there.
Okay.
It's not After Dark yet.
Wow. Okay.
All right, so let's just do this. I can just tell.
I got to knock the first wheel off.
So we're going to go to some strange places this evening, I'm sure. I think JT got a little weird at work. We're getting a little weird here. Let's just do our first segment. What do you think?
Okay.
Now, I'm going to outline our rules first before we do that, though. Number
yes.
one, no hate speech. We just don't accept it. It does not happen on this show. Two, no word porn, which means you know, if you have a good flow going, there's something that's artistically placed and makes sense. We're not here to censor art. However, if you're just being gratuitous and ridiculous, we might cut you off. We try to skew PG-13 so families can listen, but we're also not about censorship. So that's how we kind of get around that. Those are the two rules. Everything else is off. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball, I guess.
That's right, okay? Pretty much.
First segment, we need five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
Yes, 720-240-9766.
And we'll be coming up in this segment as well, teasing the new Poet of the Month for May 2017. If you need to give us a call on Skype, World Poetry Open Mic, give us a call. Hey, Christine.
Yes, Michael.
Have you ever seen Sweeney Todd?
No, most people who go see him never come back.
I know. I guess I'm just hungry. And welcome back to the first segment.
I still don't remember doing that one either.
You know, yeah, it's like these. It's like I black out and suddenly these things appear.
I think JT roofied us. Like the and one. They just put mics in front of us and that was it.
I don't think that's the effect he would get. Thankfully, that's never happened. No, you know, I have had someone actually drug some coffee I was having on a date once, and it was really weird. And
she did realize all she had to do was talk to you.
I mean, well, by the time the giant chicken was walking across the parking lot, I mean, it was, there might have been a metaphor there. Anyway. So we're here in the first segment. We've got five of the best lined up here for you. Now, there is a submission, but I think I'm going to say it's more of an After Dark kind of submission.
You got it.
All right. All right. It's real short. And plus, the poet's in the lineup for this
okay.
second. So
no problem.
Let's let it be what it's going to be. Okay. But let's just head over to the Michigan State to our great leadoff player. This is the guy we always love to start the show with, if Ellie can't call, that is. And it is Dennis. Dennis, how are you, my friend?
I am doing very well. Happy Cinco de Mayo to all.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. What's it like in your neck of the woods? Anybody doing anything cool?
No.
That was very short and to the point.
Fair enough.
That's why I'm on the phone calling into a poetry show tonight.
Hey, that's perfect. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah, that was bad. I apologize.
Anyway.
But it's May. It's May.
It is.
And it's the month after April. And boy, we got burnout in April. Now we need to start fresh in May.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, I think every month could be National Poetry Month. We just don't need anybody to tell us that. We can just keep going.
It's just a continued celebration all year long.
That's
it. Doesn't
it.
Need to be official.
You got
we just going to take over.
That's it.
Yes.
Well, how about this? I'm going to let you have the stage. We'll talk about what you've got for us this week after you're done presenting it.
All right. That sounds good.
All right.
All right. My poem tonight is from the book Filtered Light. It was written by Pietro DiGiorgio, who is a friend of mine. He passed away last October, but his words live on with us. And I'd like to share some of his thoughtful words this evening. The title of the poem I'm reading is, to get the book open to the right page. Here we go. City of Stone by Pietro DiGiorgio. Not yet out of the woods. I hear the curses of men erecting a city of stone to imprison me. Not yet out of the woods. I turned back to the loveliness of trees and the blessedness of life. I could not face the blasphemy of the shutting out of the forest, which is the source of life. I could not choose death when the woods held out their arms to me, calling me back. From the depth of my woodland home, I hear sirens and guns in the completed city, punctuated by the sounds of crickets nearby. End of poem.
Christine is giving you a physical round of applause on that one, Dennis. Great.
Well, thank you so much, Christine.
You're welcome, my darling. I was trying to do it around the microphone, but I don't think it has the same.
No, it does work. There's a. You can tell. You can tell.
I can definitely hear.
It was still appreciated.
All right.
Dennis, great read and great choice. Thank you so much for sharing that. So what inspired you to read that one this week?
Well, I didn't write anything this week, so I thought I'd share something by a dear friend. And talking about dear friends, I had a meeting in Lansing. I met Chris Lansing last Saturday.
Oh, no kidding!
Wonderful!
And what a great visit it was. He is even more impressive in person than he is on the radio, and he comes across even more sincere and thoughtful than his radio readings. He is a wonderful poet, and he is so thoughtful and considerate. And it was such a joy to meet the man, and what an inspiration to me to meet him. And I just hope he calls in tonight and shares some more of his wonderful poetry.
That's wonderful. That's great. And I can only imagine. I can only imagine how cool it is to meet him in person. So that's wonderful.
I hope you all have that opportunity to meet him sometime, because he's just a delightful person. He's down to earth. It's so easy to talk to. It's like I've known him my whole life, like an old friend. Old friends getting together. There, and it was just a wonderful time, and I do really hope he does call in, because he adds a lot to the show.
Oh, you know what? I hope so too. We always enjoy having him call.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to step away from the mic and let the next poet step up, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you so much. And that was Dennis calling all the way from Michigan. It's a ritual that has played out over years now, you know?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's something that's pretty cool. So let's go to the natural place after Michigan. In fact, it's considered the next step state.
The next step state?
The next step to what?
I'm just making stuff up. It's Marion, Arizona. Mary, how are you?
It's warm here. I'm very warm.
Yes.
Very, very, very warm.
Are you? Well, take off the Snuggie.
That's what Arizona has.
Oh,
that's what
yes.
It has from May on. It's called warm.
Well, you know, it's getting, it's starting to get warmer and warmer here. It's not quite, it's nice Colorado spring weather now, wouldn't you say?
Well, we had 106 and I went in the pool for the first day, so that's what it was.
Wait, you're already at 106?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
JT does not like much heat. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, when I lived in Wisconsin, I saw that one time in 53 years.
Oh, yeah, that was it. The point is, I think JT hates two things, really. Heat. No, three things. Heat, the French Revolution, and the New England Patriots.
You guys are so boy. So boy. I don't even know what to say. More boy? Come on, Christine. Please, what? Where are you?
I'm right here, honey.
Oh, thank God. Come on.
You know that a female presence has been needed when the listeners are like, oh, thank God. There's a woman on this show.
Finally. Whoa.
Finally.
Finally. I'm taking a breath. I'm going to go into my reading now.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mary.
I decided to be poignant today, because I don't know, it's May and it's spring and I'm redoing my life, and so I'm finding all these things to find pleasure, and I guess the arts really do it for me, and of course music has always done it for me, but since I have come to love a number of poets, poetry does it for me now. So I'm going to do something by Edna St. Vincent Millay. She received the Pulitzer in 1923, only the third woman to receive the award for the poem I'm going to read. It's a heavy, but God, it's nice to know that someone felt this. The name of the poem, I think Johnny Cash did a reading of it on YouTube somewhere. It's called The Ballad of the Harp Weaver. And here we go. "Son," said my mother, when I was knee-high, "you've need of clothes to cover you, and not a rag, have I? There's nothing in the house to make a boy breeches, nor shears to cut a cloth with, nor thread to take stitches. There's nothing in the house but a loaf end of rye and a harp with a woman's head nobody will buy." And she began to cry. That was in the early fall. When came the late fall, "Son," she said, "the sight of you makes your mother's blood crawl. Little skinny shoulder blades sticking through your clothes, and where you'll get a jacket from, God above knows. It's lucky for me, lad, your daddy's in the ground. Can't see the way I let his son go around." She made a queer sound. It was in the late fall. When the winter came, I'd not a pair of breeches nor a shirt to my name. I couldn't go to school or out of doors to play, and all the other little boys passed our way. "Son," said my mother, "come, climb into my lap, and I'll chafe your little bones while you take a nap." And oh, but we were silly for half an hour or more, me and my long legs dragging on the floor, a rock, rock, rocking to a mother goose rhyme. Oh, but we were so happy for half an hour's time. And there was I, a great boy, and what would folks say to hear my mother singing me to sleep all day in such a daft way? Men say the winter was bad that year. Fuel was scarce and food was dear. A wind with a wolf's head howled about our door, and we burned up the chairs and sat upon the floor. And that was all that left us was a chair we couldn't break, and the harp with a woman's head nobody would take for song or pity's sake. The night before Christmas, I cried with cold. I cried myself to sleep like a two-year-old. And in the deep night, I felt my mother rise and stare down upon me with love in her eyes. I saw my mother sitting on the one good chair and a light falling on her from where I couldn't tell where. Looking 19, not a day older, and a harp with a woman's head leaning against her shoulder, her thin fingers moving in a thin, tall strings, were weaving wonderful things. Many bright threads from where I couldn't see were running through the harp strings rapidly, and gold threads whistling through my mother's hand. I saw the web grow and the pattern expand. She wove a child's jacket, and when it was done, she laid it on the floor and wove another one. She wove a red cloak, so regal to see. She made it for a king's son, I said, and not for me. But I knew it was for me. She wove a pair of breeches quicker than that. She wove a pair of boots and a little cocked hat. She wove a pair of mittens and she wove a little blouse. She wove all night in the still cold house. She sang and she worked and the harp string spoke. Her voice never faltered and the thread never broke. And when I awoke, there sat my mother with the harp against her shoulder, looking 19 and not a day older, a smile about her lips and a light about her head, and her hands and the harp strings frozen dead, and piled beside her and toppling to the skies were the clothes of a king's son, just my size." End poem.
It was a beautiful choice.
It's a mother's love, yo.
Yeah, wow. That was a beautiful choice of a piece, Mary. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'll see you on the return. I don't want to chat and take up time where poets can read. Come on.
Okay, all right. Come on now.
Thank you.
Move around along.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Move right along.
As a musician, you have a keen sense of timing, Mary. So we're just going to let you go. We're going to move on in 1, 2, 3, 4. Done. In 4-4 time. Mary from Arizona.
Up.
Huh?
You guys are jacked up.
We're not jacked up. She gets it.
She'll get it.
I think she'd do it to
me. You're supposed to count backwards.
No, you count 1, 2, 3. The first beat goes to the second beat, to the third beat, to the fourth beat, and then you start on the one again.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of
a very
slow
beat. This isn't launching
a
rocket ship and starting a song.
This is a very slow beat.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's you were you were going much slower than that.
Because I wanted to give her time.
Well, if she was already knew what you were doing, what time were you in? 4-4?
Well, it's still 4.
I was just in time. Here we go.
Just let's usually go out to his
wow. Let's go out to California to a man I know would understand this conversation. Let's go to Don Hagelberg. Don, how are you?
Am I for beats?
you're in whatever beats you want to be, Don.
I like beets. They taste good.
They do. They do. Yeah.
Listen, I have a partial letter that I'm going to read a section of. This is Grace Unto You and Peace, Mrs. Harrison. I live in a single-room occupancy hotel. When I walk up to the stores on Upper University Avenue, I pass by homeless who are sleeping on sidewalks around the main intersection. These people, in conjunction with those who sleep in the store entrances on University Avenue, pose a health problem. They are helping to kill themselves. There used to be a homeless overnight off of Telegraph Avenue. I used to be at the free clinic and would walk homeless over from that facility to the shelter for a night stay and referrals. Ma'am, is there anything which can be done to get them into care and concern for stabilization and a better life? I haven't money to give them to cover their rent. I haven't got the insight to counsel them, even though I once did that. And yes, I voted for you and recommended you to others. But that should have very little to do with acts of compassion and deep care and deep concern. Agape, Kitos, Shalom, Sheshe, Salam, Yanamaste. Don. And Mrs. Harrison is the Berkeley Council member for my district. This is the poem.
Oh, okay.
This is the poem that goes with it. And this is in Milvia Street, Arts and Literary Journal, 2016, page 88, 89. Voice Without End. The voice without end sweats wet in my ear. I hear. What are these worshipped words? How many Lego bricks will it take to block their intent? And what does Big Bird think of the stutter of my voice? Simply misheard, simply misunderstood? A turd stuck in the sewage, a plastic bag full thrown into garbage. Is all that this voice says, a foreword without a philosophical cry, a promised voyage, a beginning without a trip to follow? I beg you, where to go, what to do? 2. The lack of response breaks my back, crumples my grasp. leaks away from life without relief, or is that it? Am I left to urinate pools of pee to leak through the diaper of meaning, or is meaning outdated like toothpaste balls? I live without wrapping. Nothing holds either me or meaning. Everything leaks. Is all of life a mellow yellow without drugs or alcohol? How short the shot glass, which thought police dust for fingered prints of powdered meaning, mystically floating in meditative poses. 3. Away. All away. When I could have grasped the couch, the side chair, I can no longer bring to bear the pep, even to reach up to touch my hair. Bold experience like autumn, nature's bolding season in which the brush removes death from both the living as well as a fresh corpse. Or am I merely lying, dying on wrong colored grass? Or do I cry at both the voice of forewords and afterwards? Funny that the voice says, I must be explained. I must be understood as just. There is no could without being understood. Tears wet my imagination in the gulf between experience and knowledge, sleeps deep below the water surface. 4. Exposed to the heat and winds of time, I chime hell's bells and let my attention change focus from rain clouds to worlds. This time in which I float allows me to gloat on questions usually unvoiced. Vain and haughty, I fall from grace and begin to clean and polish my old used to be. This is in honor of the Berkeley Free Clinic and the homeless who are served there. Thank you.
That was some very, very powerful stuff there, Don. Thank you for that, and apologize for clapping after the letter there, but I think it did fit really well, so thanks for putting those together.
You're appreciated, you and John, JT, and Christine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Not a problem, sir. Thank you.
Wow.
We'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
And that was Don Hagelberg giving us a call all the way from California.
California, here I come.
Which I will be in California.
Oh, don't announce that.
No, I'll be in California this time next month. Next month.
Yes,
I will be
will.
On the 5th.
But that's
just a short trip.
It's not a Friday.
It's not a Friday. Shows will go on normally. It'll be really good, though, yeah. I think. I'm looking forward to it. Let's, from here, let's travel to Hawaii, where it's about 4:30 in the afternoon, I think. Something like that.
Noki kuna oa e aloha.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Adam West Batman reruns are about to start.
Wow.
They usually came on at 4:30. Do you remember that?
That's true.
Everywhere
they
I've been, they come on at 4:30. It's weird.
They did.
Julie, hello. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. How is it in Hawaii?
It's beautiful.
Well, of course.
She lives in a paradise.
Actually, it's been quite warm. We've hit like 90s already, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's we haven't hit 90s. We're having some pretty nice weather here in Colorado. We did. I don't know if you heard Mary talking about it in Arizona. They got up to 106 today, which is incredible.
Yes, I heard.
Ugh.
So, that's way too hot for me.
Yeah.
So this is what I love about.
Actually,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say I actually live about 2,000 feet up the mountain, so it gets cold at night and it's warm during the day. So.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Well, I mean, depending on, you know, in Colorado, when it gets cold at night and warm during the day, we call it malaria. Or
last weekend when it snowed.
Yeah, it was warm. It snowed pretty intensely. And then the next day, it almost all melted. So go figure.
Well, it's snow. Now we're in winter. And then next week, we have spring again.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Well, we were worried about you guys because you had the plague there for a while.
Oh, my gosh.
We were waiting for you to get back on.
Yeah,
we that
sorry.
It was one of those things that we hadn't done ever. We'd never actually done that like that. I mean, I think I had one where I had a health thing where it just kind of shut me down. But
yeah, but we were able to still do the
show. You guys
still
did the show. So that's the only time in 5 years that we've been like that. We hope never to have it happen again.
That's right.
Well, it was a very good record for you guys. So.
Oh, well, thank you. So we understand that it's not just you reading, or it's you have a partner, or you. Why don't you introduce your partner, the person you're calling in with?
Actually, it's my granddaughter Shannon. Again, she did Drizzle Drizzle Drop for you.
Yeah, she was great.
Well, now she's going to sing a song that Grandma wrote for her because I call her my little gecko. And in Hawaii, gecko is mo'o, which also means dragon. So she's going to, if it's all right with you, I'll just turn it over to her and she can start her song.
Of course.
It's going to be a little more upbeat than the ones we had prior, but that's okay. Everybody needs a good smile.
That's right.
You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. My name is Shannon again, and I will be singing my song. Little gecko, mighty mo-o, climbing up the walls. Suction cups up on your toes, make sure she doesn't fall. Click, 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 the mo-o sings her tune. Click, 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 every afternoon. And at night when we turn on the light and the bugs come for its glow. Little gecko, mighty mo-o, sticks to our window. Click, 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 the mo-o sings her tune. Click, 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 every afternoon. No more click, she just sits and flicks her tail and her tongue. Little gecko, mighty mo-o, sticks to our window. Shh, the mo-o flicks her tongue. Shh, eats bugs one by one. If you find those gecko eggs, please just let them be. For it takes about 9 days, but you will see. Click, 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 the mo-o sings her tune. Click, 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 on your ceiling in the afternoons. It will get to mighty mo-o, climbing up the walls. Suction cups up on your toes, make sure she doesn't fall. Click, 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 click. Good night, my gecko friend. Click, 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 until we meet again. Aloha, 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 ahui ho.
Very, very, very nice. Good job. JT, what did you think?
I loved it. It was great.
And Christine was dancing here. Oh, thank you. We really appreciate it. It was a wonderful song.
It was my very much pleasure to do it. Sorry, I don't English well.
It's all good.
You did very well.
She speaks pidgin. She speaks pidgin better than she does English.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, okay.
Well,
you know the kind.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think it was beautiful. I think she understands how to put together themes and how to develop themes and develop ideas. She's doing very, very well. You should be very proud.
I am very, very proud, and I will probably talk to you guys later on because I have a poem I'd like to read, but I think it would be more better after dark.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sounds fine.
You guys take care, and give me a call if you ever decide that you want to do what we were talking about
doing. Oh, we will. We had to get a bunch of pieces together, and I think we're ready to start actually doing it, but we couldn't really do it until we had a bunch of other things set up, so...
no worries. Just give me a call anytime.
Well, okay. It's easy for the person in Hawaii to say no worries. No. Julie, we appreciate you so much. We will talk to you soon.
I appreciate you guys. Mahalo.
All right. Mahalo. It always feels weird when someone responds to someone in Hawaii like that, doesn't it? It's just like so authentic when she says it. And I'm just kind of like,
you say it, you're just
I'm like,
yeah, you feel
mahalo.
Like
I'm a poser. Okay.
You're trying.
I feel like a 40-year-old guy with a mustache going in and pretending to be a 17-year-old kid so I can figure out where the drugs are sold. Like, it just doesn't feel...
I'm not touching that.
As a cop, undercover.
You're like 21 Jump Street.
Exactly.
That's for after dark, dude.
21 Jump Street. Mustache. Okay.
I must ask you a question.
Of course. All right, so let's go from Hawaii to the second next step. That makes no sense. To Stan in Alabama.
Let's see if he's
Stan. There. Are you there?
Hello, Stan.
Are you there? I'm hearing noises. That's good news. Stan.
Stanley. I don't even know if that's his full name.
You know what? Stan, why don't you give us a call right back, okay?
Yeah, we might be having issues with the call-in again. So just hang up and call us back. Looks like he knows what's going on. So we'll be able to get him back on as soon as he calls back in. Looking forward to it. Stan is my go-to narrator of the apocalypse. If it's ever going to happen, I will have Stan narrate.
I think
everything.
It'll be good.
In a joyful manner, though. In a positive, encouraging.
How is the apocalypse an enjoyable...
It's not. But when you have someone giving you instructions, in fact, that would be a wonderful audio series. Instructions on how to survive. And listen to it as you're going through it. The important thing when going through a nuclear fallout is to find shelter that allows you to insulate yourself not only from the elements, but from the incredibly fatal radiation that has permeated the atmosphere around you. See? And you could just continually go.
Okay, yeah, we don't need more people to be building,
bug outs. No, you're totally right, actually. Right.
There he is. Stan!
And we should be connected now.
All right, Stan, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for calling back in. I don't know what Skype's deal is, but it keeps doing it to the last caller in our segment. It's getting really annoying, so I appreciate you playing ball with that.
Hey, no problem, man.
So how's this week been?
Well, the week's been pretty good.
All right.
Actually.
Great to hear.
Yes, it's been a pretty good week.
It's good.
Wonderful. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna shut up. I'm gonna give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say that this piece that I'm gonna do, actually from last week when we had that conversation at the end of the last poem, and you mentioned something about like nuclear holocaust and all that.
I don't know why I don't know why this comes up. It's nothing to do with your personality, Stan. It's more like I think you'd be a cheerful harbinger of the apocalypse.
As all of a sudden he's just the one going, no, it's okay. I have the seal, but it's
all
okay.
Right. All right. So this sounds great. I want to hear this. So, okay. You have the stage, Stan.
I just went with the idea and I thought, you know what? He might like this. This might be something right up his alley. So I'm going to give this to you, and it's called Perspective. far out to sea, away from what is seen as civilization, lies a small island. So remote was its location that it had remained untouched and undeveloped. A simple natural paradise where the basic needs of those animals living there were in abundance. Now in this tropical utopia lived two monkeys. Their long friendship had made them inseparable. Together, their days were spent sunning themselves, playing pranks on the other residents, and enjoying the serene, balmy evenings. As ideal a life as any could hope for. On one particular day, they decided to spend their day at the beach. After eating and drinking their fill, they journeyed to their favorite shoreline. White sands, gentle breezes, and the rhythm of small waves on the shore greeted them. Pristine blue skies and gentle swaying palms overhead as they enjoyed the sun and exploring tidal pools. A perfect peaceful day for a pair of playful monkeys to find fun and a little adventure. But things were about to change. As the friends attended to what else, monkey business, there was the sound of a distant roar from the horizon to their left. A faint glow arose from the direction, and the roar became even louder. Then to their right, a similar roar and strange aura arose. While these friends watched the two horizons and the roaring increase, they saw two swarms of specks traveling toward the island. Soon the roar was loud enough to feel, and the blue skies over the island were filled with thousands of missiles passing overhead. As the swarms passed each other, the monkeys each followed the path of one of them. They watched them as they each swarm arrived at their destructive destinations. Then followed the near blinding flash, a deafening roaring, followed by a rumbling that shook their island. Clouds appeared on the horizon, backlit by a disturbing glow. The once gentle breeze became a gale-force wind and forced the friends to scramble inland. They ran quickly to higher ground as the sea swallowed up the shore and part of the island went under. They and all those animals fortunate enough to be on high ground watched as the sea slowly receded. Many trees and plants were destroyed. They witnessed many of the animals they knew washing out to sea or lying lifeless on the ground. The monkeys looked back and forth between the two horizons. Ugly clouds and death's glow hung over both. A lifeless silence in the air completed the scene of the destructive power of arrogance. Finally, one of the monkeys turned to the other and spoke. "Well, now what do you think?" And as if of one mind, they bowed their heads and offered this little prayer. "Dear Lord, we are simple creatures. Please help us to understand. For what possible greater purpose should we start this shit over again? Amen." End.
Oh, Stan, that was great. And you know the thing I loved about it is I was so with you even up to that the joke at the end, which fits so perfectly. But I was 100% with you, thinking, you know, with all of the ratcheting up of things. And I'm not going into politics and blaming one person or another, but let's be honest. If we act like kids, we're all going to end up dead. And
exactly.
And you know, it is, you got to be rational and you got to be thinking. And I just don't know with things like nuclear weapons, if we're going to always be able to be that way. And it's asinine to me that we have to even think about this, but it's who we are. We're human beings. And I hope that we can learn how to see past some of our stuff that ultimately will amount to nothing, you know?
Well, we've got to quit we've got to quit looking at our differences and start finding the things that are common ground that we have in accord. Like, we're all human. Let's start there.
Yep. We're all human, and let's stop trying to be the big guy on the playground, I think, all the time. You know, I definitely respect and honor the people who sacrifice stuff for us in our military. Absolutely, 100%. But I also look at it and go, man, you know, we're people.
The way I look at this, I have the most respect and admiration for people who have that kind of sense of duty within them to where they will don a uniform and put themselves in harm's way.
Yes.
That's magnificent.
Right.
My feeling is real simple. I have a great deal of gratitude to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think my gratitude would better be expressed to them and their families if I found a way not to send them.
Amen. Amen. That's where I am too. That's what I've always said.
Right.
You want to show that the people of today that you care about their lives, don't start a war.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I say it.
Did you just mic drop?
Yes.
No, I just kind of drill bit. anybody who drops a mic does a mic drop has never paid for the mic that's been dropped. No, but Stan, I think that was a wonderful piece, and I think it was really timely and great. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much.
You got it. You got it. We'll talk to you a little bit later in the return engagement.
If I get the chance, I will.
All right. Sounds good. Wonderful. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Stan Kahn from Alabama. You know, what's funny is as he was reading it, and it was really good, but it was getting, it was really sad. You know, he's talking about the waters receding and all of this. And I was sitting there going, man, this is so good. I kind of wish I hadn't said something because it's good, but I'm not happy that I'm having to hear this. You know what I mean?
Right.
That I'm listening to this because I was getting wrapped up in it, which means it was an effective piece. Wonderful. All right. So
cleansing breath.
Well, cleansing breath, and then I'm going to give the first three hints
dun, dun, dun.
For the poet of the month of May 2017.
Wow, our budget has gotten huge. Did you hear that inductor of the music?
Watch this. We can, in a pinch, splurge and actually have background music. For instance, like right now.
Where'd the confetti come from?
Yeah, I told you.
That was cool. I gotta clean this up, don't I?
Yeah, we're big spenders around. Well, that's why do you think you're
I could so say something and it wouldn't be word porn.
No, it wouldn't. But
I think every female over there just got it right now.
You know, I say it and I'm like, Ed, I'm giving you something. All right. So here we go.
I will get you later.
Oh.
Okay.
And
anyway.
I can make it look like an accident.
I know you can. I heard something about pigs earlier. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so we're going to tease the, give you three hints for who the poet of the month for May of 2017 will be. If you think you know, send us a message. We'll figure out something. I don't know. Here we go. Here's hint number one. Final hours of Chekhov.
Okay.
Number two. Wedded to Tess. And three. Stopped the bottle in 77.
I totally know it.
Yeah.
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 It's James T. Kirk.
Because of Chekhov.
You are such a dork.
No, I'll tell you my thing in a second. But anyway, those are your three hints for the poet of the month, World Poetry Open Mic, May 2017. Really quickly before we go to the next segment.
Yeah.
So they had a sock hop at the school where I teach, right?
Yes.
And so I walk in earlier this week, and one of the teachers looks at me and goes, you know, Michael, you missed all the fun. You know, at the sock hop. And I go, yeah, I had my Spock ears ready and everything. And without any humor, she didn't realize I was kidding. It was a sock hop, not a Spock hop. which to me was infinitely funnier than if she knew it. All right, so we're going to go to our second segment. We need five more unique callers. I don't know if we're going to get them. We have kind of a small, it's kind of a slow night.
It's weird. I've seen the listeners like fluctuate, so might.
The moment they hear me talking, they're like, oh, he's on.
Wow.
All right, so we need five more unique callers. 720-240-9766.
720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Michael.
Wait, are we on? Oh, we're on. I guess I could use my grown-up voice now. So yesterday I was walking down the street and I thought, how cool would it be if I just slowly, over about a month, added a little bit more makeup every day? And then by the end, I'd look like a zombie. And I could pepper in all kinds of comments like, have you ever considered that humans might really taste delicious? So by the time it's over, totally not around Halloween, by the way, people would be convinced. What do you think?
And that was your Deep Thought by Michael. Ow! Really, dude?
I'm just trying it out. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. I still think that's a really good idea. I'm going to be honest.
Did you forget about that one, too?
Dude, I forget about the majority because all you do is literally just hit record, and then Michael and I just turn into
whatever it is. Yeah, it's okay.
And then we all of a sudden, then you just start cutting stuff up and go, oh, this is funny. I've never heard my wife sound like this. Oh, this is hysterical. And you just start crunching it all together.
Yeah.
And then Michael and I are sitting here looking at each other going, when the hell did we do that?
I don't remember that. I do remember that idea. Man.
It's a great idea. Isn't it? I am telling you.
I think we're going to have to pull it up someday, some way.
What plan?
Exactly.
No.
The zombie one.
Oh, the zombie one. No, I still have the bite marks, dude.
You gotta say, I'm a method actor. I'm like Daniel
Day-Lewis.
That's
not a method actor. That's a hungry actor.
Oh, I've got when you can do it.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah?
I've totally got when you can do it.
If no one expects a zombie at Easter.
Actually.
God.
Never mind.
Even
dude,
better.
You're gonna have to go to confession
one. I'm in a giant basket. Oh God, I didn't even think about it. That's not even what I meant. I was picturing myself in a giant Easter basket, shrink wrapped with everything else. It's like, wow, it's a life sized, and they open it. That's what I was thinking. All right,
but you better have
the whole shrouded Turin thing.
I was gonna say you need to have all the rabbit heads like kind of partially eaten open. And
if I dressed like a giant chocolate bunny, I could be a cannibal all day.
And listeners, this is why JT just hits record.
Yes. Right. Okay. Hey, we do have some callers.
All right. And you know what? We'll not talk about the cannibalism thing ever since that happened to. Mm-hmm. And yeah. He's in Studio X.
Yes, he is.
And we haven't been there to fumigate in a while.
Oh. Ew.
Okay.
Might be due.
Yeah. Or ripe. Either one.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next step. After this,
we're just...
it's to Missouri. Okay, let's go to Sinister in Missouri. Lean this off.
Missouri. Okay.
Right,
hold on, I'm trying to turn you guys off.
All right.
No worries.
All right. No worries. There you go,
we're off. Here we are. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right.
All right, good deal. I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after you read, okay?
All right. This is a new write called Near Forgotten Yesterday. Find yourself bewildered in youth, engorged breast of wanton wild expedition, traipsing creeks and wooded canopies to entice these curious wilds. Tireless momentum beams freshly sprouted sun rays on kinetic rubbery. All right. Laughter echoes the embankment, and those smiles now forgotten reflect on waters green. Hold back the vomit like we wish we could our inflamed nostrils from such staggering stench. Slimy pond scum with nuclear bindings mixed upon underlying death bubbles in its mouth. Danced One to me, a weathered ledge, not so high above the mystery goo, aside these cherished bovyaks. Unsheltered, we find yet another precursor to a life not yet weaned from age disposition. Hazard signs and poorly attended train engines we ignored or challenged to dash with infamy. Such far-sighted passengers of adolescent rights, say, shuffling through, scuffling, or meant to. We are but blotted flotations of nebula, lost in twilight's passing of a yesterday nearly forgotten. End peace. Apologize for checking in. Wife got me a new laptop, and I'm like, yeah, it's still learning it. So.
I understand, man. I understand. That was, I thought that was really solid, though. I mean, it was definitely passionate, like you normally deliver, but it wasn't the full out, you know, gonna kick the phone, you know, out of the window, sinister, which I like, though.
Yeah, it's a reflection piece, you know. the other day, well, I did one of those, and return engagement. I'll read that one, but it's kind of a closure, you know. I've been working so hard on this chapbook, and all of it's so emotionally draining. Once I wrote this one piece, it's just actually a lot of stuff like this and some fun stuff and bizarre kind of quirky stuff out. So, you know, you gotta touch everything. So,
yeah, I thought that was great, man. And thank you so much for calling and sharing. And are you going to be calling during the return engagement or after dark tonight?
Yeah, definitely return engagement after dark. Ooh, you know, I like doing that. So.
All right. Well, cool. We'll see. Hopefully we can get you on both, but we're looking forward to what else you have to share for us tonight. So, or with us, not for us, with us. So, we appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for being here, man. I appreciate you.
You got it, man.
All right.
Thank you. And that was Sinister calling all the way from Missouri. Now, let's go a little bit farther. The Missouri, what do you say? To the birthplace of the language.
Ooh.
Which we speak.
Two countries separated by a language.
Well, by an understanding of the language far above ours, most likely. Let's go to Titus in the UK. Titus, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, Michael. Thank you very much.
Oh, very nice. Yes. Very good to hear.
Quite live.
Now, is this a late night for you or an early morning for you? Which one did you choose?
All depends how I wake up. Sometimes I feel dreary when I'm reading, and sometimes I'm lively. You're lucky. You got me lively.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We're happy about that.
So Michael yawns.
I know. I'm yawning. I'm like, oh, man.
And
I haven't acquainted myself with Christine. So welcome, Christine, to the show. We haven't spoke.
I know. It was nice to meet you.
Yes. I wasn't ignoring you.
Oh, no.
Past ones, yes.
Oh, no. I understand, my darling. You're fine. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, well, I've just leading up to coming on, and I was listening to those lovely poems before me. I get stuck into this, this love poetry that sickens people sometimes. So I hesitate to come on sometimes with it to the show. But 90% of my works are of this genre. So, of course, you'll have to forgive me. This one is called... It actually started off When First We Met, I Do Remember. It's called When First We Met, A Second Ought in Time. It speaks about a second glance when you first meet someone. And it's headed with, because of you, I see the alternative lines of verse as the rhyme simply meaning we aren't too far away from each other. That's why I'm a rhyme poet. Therefore, why I rhyme, it's because of you. So that's why I'm a rhyme poet. I feel envious of the free verses. They really just do it fluently. I can't do that, unfortunately. Yes. So anyway, this one's called When First We Met, A Second Ought in Time. It's a sonnet. Sincerely is the man whose love conveys a woman who held first a second glance, never to be forgotten when he says, my love, I did but turn, but only once. A single turn would simply mean to know what falling for the first time does rely. I closed my eyes and saw again how slow it took a love again, our first goodbye. To think of losing after first we met, the second time of asking myself first. It was to be the first. The time was set to find a way to keep myself immersed. It masks a simple parting from a rhyme. Two lines of four, two, we two, yes, step in time. And that's it. Simple. These are my roots, I feel, because I got stuck into a situation where long-distance love meant that I isolated myself so much that I, instead of coming, you know, I started off in athletics, yeah. But it was so much to bear that I got into poetry that way. So that's how it all started. And I started studying the classics in, I don't know, 4 to 8 years of isolation. So that's how it got stuck into rhyme.
Oh, wow.
Mm. So that's it.
Well, that's, you know, Titus, we always are so appreciative of your work, and we can see that the blood runs deep, which is something that usually gets or it comes from a passionate person with an articulate mind and unique point of view who has also come up through learning from the classics. It's very obvious you haven't come up through, you know, the beat poetry world necessarily or anything, that you've come through the classics. And I, for one, definitely appreciate that and appreciate your literary grasp of it.
Poetry has become a Jekyll and Hyde because there are the friends I've got in poetry who praise me no end.
Yeah.
But there are the realists, the purists, who seem to break me down. They really break me. But to be honest, it's like my past, which was very tough. It's made me a gentleman and a more kinder individual. And therefore, what these critics have done to annihilate me have actually made me feel that I've improved. So it has been good and bad on both sides.
You know, I can understand that. I will say, and Titus, you know, I feel like some episode we should do where we just read some of the mail we've gotten, JT. You know, some of the criticism we've received over the years. You know, it's our show doesn't really do much to offend people, but man, you should see some of the letters. So my opinion is, if you're doing anything worthwhile, you're going to get hate letters.
Yeah.
And you're going to have critics who just dislike you. And that's kind of a mark that you're doing things right. You're not writing for everyone. You're writing for the people who connect with you.
Do you know what your show does, though?
What's that?
And working 30 years in school, why did all the kids like me? Because I understood them. A lot of the teachers and heads, they don't do that. Mm. But what it is your show actually introduces the poet to writing for the first time, that you don't give them this fear that the critics do. And that's what makes them start and become better. And I thank you for that.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure to do so.
Okay. It's all nice, right. Getting up. Thank you.
Titus, that was awesome. Thank you so much. And we hope to hear from you again either later tonight or this next week.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, next week, I'm out.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, thank you, Titus. We appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Cheers.
And that was Titus calling all the way from the UK.
From Uck.
From that's not what it's called.
Not what it's called.
Are you sure? Because you seemed convinced.
Oh, don't go into here.
I see the eyebrow raise and I'm like, Christine, we're on the air.
It's amazing at how much I can put
I'm
the
not
fear
saying this
into
seriously.
You.
No. No. All right. So let's head to a place where they have lots of writing utensils.
Pie.
And salad, Pennsylvania, to Jim. Jim, how are you?
They have lots of writing utensils.
Hello.
Hello. How are you,
Hello.
Sir?
I am fine.
Well, good.
Mostly.
Well, do you want to extrapolate on that very vague and leading answer? No.
No, I'm just joking. I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
My girlfriend Danielle, who's in the chat room right now, wanted me to make a request.
Yes.
Well, I'll get this out of the way before I forget. She supposed to put up a GoFundMe page so we can afford to go down to see her daughter graduate.
Oh, okay.
From high school. So it's just that money kind of tight for us, and it's going to cost us a few hundred dollars at least just to get down there and, you know, rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's trying to get help on that. I've shared it on my Facebook page, and I think she's going to try and put the link in the chat room.
Okay.
See if she can.
Yeah.
So we would appreciate if anyone could share and, if possible, donate, because this really means the world to her.
I can understand. Absolutely.
You know, well, she doesn't get to see her daughter all that often, maybe once or twice a year, because we're in Pennsylvania and her daughter's in northern North Carolina.
Okay. Okay. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Just go ahead and post it there, and we encourage anybody who's who's interested to click on it and take a look, and hopefully they can help.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate that.
You got it. All right. So, so Jim, I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after.
Okay. This is what I wrote just a few days ago based on a Facebook posting I put. It's called Thought for the Day. Jesus is the light of the world, and I show it so very well. Like a white shirt reflecting a black light, I'm not much good in a dark room. End of poem.
And I really enjoyed that. I really liked that one. I do have a question, though, Jim. Is this a puffy poet shirt, or is this a like a button-up white shirt? I mean, which shirt? What kind of shirt is this?
It's poofy.
It's poofy. Of course it's poofy. It's a poofy poet shirt from the Renaissance.
It's a poofy poet shirt from France.
From France.
And JT's
fine because it's not the French Revolution.
That's right.
No. We had a discussion about this. It goes beyond.
JT just doesn't like the French?
There it is.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Really?
I asked you and you were like,
Jim's still on the line. Yeah. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, I actually really, really enjoyed that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And speak about the shirt. Unfortunately, it's not one that go one of those that go les boom and make you go les poof.
I've always wanted one of those shirts. All my shirts go les poof.
Well, I actually do have kind of a puffy puffy white shirt for reenactment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make sense. See, I don't have an excuse like that.
No, you just wear it.
Yeah. Yeah. My life is a reenactment of something that has never happened.
Something never happened? What never happened?
It. All right, Jim. Thanks so much. Are you going to be calling back during the return engagement?
I might.
All right.
And if I do, I'm thinking of going with a Ted Hughes poem.
Ooh. All right. Very cool. All right, so we're going to do that. In fact, we're going to be taking calls here very, very shortly for that, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Jim. And that was Jim Kahn all the way from Pennsylvania, sharing an amazing short piece without a word missing.
With a poofy shirt.
With a poofy shirt, which makes it instantly a larger poem than it would have been if you had not worn a poofy shirt. Let's go to...
Are you sure?
The return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. And that's what happens when I forget what we recorded. It's been like that for a while. Like, we haven't done that in a few weeks, have we? Or did we do it last week? Man, my memory's going. I'm only 36. Okay. Anyway.
Dude, you're like 40. No, just kidding. Totally
really? Kidding. I can't remember the last 4 years. Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I found out my dog is now older than me.
Aww.
I know. In dog years.
Well.
Of course, not real human years.
Well, I would hope not, because that would be probably the longest living dog you could call Guinness. And not the stout makers.
See, that was exciting, though.
So, hey.
Hey, let's do the return engagement. That means anybody who wants to call in, anybody who has called in, you can call back or you call in for the first time, 720-240-9766.
Yeah, it's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And then, you know, to the point where you have to go back to the doctor and have it pulled back out again, which is just really was not on my agenda for the weekend. So I told her, I'm sorry, I just can't go to dinner with you right now. Yeah, that's what
makes
happens.
Sense.
Yeah. Are we?
Yeah, we are on and we are live.
I'm sorry you had to hear that. Welcome to the return engagement. Whew. Okay, we have five people lined up.
Yep.
To return this engagement to the fiery pits of Mordor. Okay. Let's.
Now gone to Mordor.
No, see, well, you know, I had
one simply does not walk into Mordor.
Yeah, I know. You can just briskly run.
fly.
You can
you
fly.
Fly.
You can trot. Take you can, you know, you could actually do the Gangnam style thing into Mordor.
You could.
That renders orcs helpless. They cannot. They just.
Well, yeah, they start line dancing with you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool actually to see how it works. Now I have a short submission to read first, though.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, and this is from Pam Schwetz.
Okay,
and this is her kind of short preamble. I'm always talking about how autocorrect is never correct and should be called auto wrong. So finally, I wrote a poem about it, and I wanted to share it here. This is called Auto Wrong. By Pam Schwetz. Why do they call it autocorrect when it's auto wrong? Is there any way to perfect? It just takes too long having to fix the words that replace the ones I tried to write. Trying to send messages in haste sure takes a lot of time. It really has a way of messing up what I'm trying to say. It really blows my mind. And that was Auto Wrong by Pam Schwetz. You know, Pam, I have to agree with you. I tried to write LOL once, and it corrected, no kidding, to Elohim! Exclamation point. I never quite understood that. I'm like, really? The name of the Holy Spirit? That's interesting. That's the autocorrection. Who uses that in the normal vernacular?
You.
Well, that's true.
I always try and send I love you, and it comes out live. So
yeah.
I live you.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember which one I was. It was something like live or live, and it was coming out Lakaim. I actually, now that I realize it, I must have some sort of setting that autocorrects to Yiddish terminology.
Well, has JT ever told you his brain is on autocorrect?
Oh, no, I believe that.
So our daughter was leaving for work one day.
Okay.
She says, hugs and kisses.
Okay.
My husband across the room goes, wait, what? And she looks at him and she repeats herself. And he goes, oh, I thought you said photosynthesis. So that has turned into the family hug and kisses.
Yeah. Yelling photosynthesis.
Is we now yell photosynthesis.
Oh, that's a good one.
So everybody now looks at us and goes, must be a bunch of botanists or something.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
It's actually great.
Yeah, my brain does that.
Okay.
All the time.
But it's not Yiddish.
No.
He goes to scientific
terms.
Yeah,
but see, it's the thing. It's like when I told someone to like give me some chalupas and bring it, it came out as chutzpah. So I mean, it's All right.
Wow.
let's just move on. Okay. So we're going to go, of course, why would we go anywhere else but to Pennsylvania and to the salad master himself, Jim. Jim.
You shall not pass.
That's it. You know, I had kids tell me I should do that in class. They actually did. Yeah. Yeah.
They should make that a road song.
Oh, you know what? I think, wouldn't it be intelligent for governments to start selling the rights to street signs to companies? But they had to come up with a creative way to actually use the real sign. So like you shall not pass, you know, brought to you by New Line Cinema, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, they're never going to name a street Chuck Norris.
Oh, that's true.
No, because everybody would be beat up.
Yep.
Nobody crosses Chuck Norris and lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. You know the best part about that? This is the most badass thing about Chuck Norris, not even as a joke. He gets paid license fees on all the ridiculous amounts of merchandise talking about what a badass he is. That's actually his living, is making a living off of royalties of things talking about how badass he is. Now that That is actually the most badass fact about Chuck Norris. All right, so what do you have for us this time?
Well, last week when I did that poem from Seamus Heaney, mm-hmm. it was in memory of Ted Hughes, so I got the idea of doing one of his poems this week.
Very cool.
And I'm going to do The Hawk in the Rain, which, according to the movie Sylvia, was what first interested her in Ted Hughes, because he had written that poem and it was in a review where he pretty much tore her apart, her poem. So, The Hawk in the Rain. I drown the drumming plowland. I drag up heel after heel from the swallowing of the earth's mouth, from clay that clutches my each step to the ankle within the habit of the dogged grave. But the hawk effortlessly at height hangs the still eye. His wings hold all creation in a weightless quiet, steady as a hallucination in the streaming air, while banging wind kills these stubborn hedges, thumbs my eyes, throws my breath, tackles my heart, and rain hacks my head to the bone. The hawk hangs the diamond point of will that pole stars the seas, drown their endurance, and I bloodily grab day's last moment, counting morsel in the earth's mouth, strained toward the master fulcrum of violence where the hawk hangs still, that maybe in his own time meets the weather, coming the wrong way, suffers the air, hurled upside down, fall from his eye, the ponderous shires crash on him, the horizon trap him, the round angelic eyes smashed, mix his heart's blood with the mire of the land. End of poem.
Bravo! Bravo!
That was excitement. No. Jim, well, that was a great. That was a great read.
I kind of misread it when I did it. It was a dry run for me on that one.
No, that was wonderful. It really was. I'm glad you made that choice. That was a really cool choice as well. What did you think, Christine? What did you think?
No, I thought it was great. Not to be reading that for the first time. I would say encore, but it is kind of, we are in the encore segment, so yeah, it would kind of be retarded. Or redundant, sorry.
Redundant.
That's the right word.
Yeah. Redundant. And so I did picture you in a poofy shirt, though, Jim. I got to be honest. I don't know if I'm ever going to get away from that.
Well, you'll have to see a picture of me in full uniform sometime.
Oh, please. Yeah, so which army do you reenact for? He's a Union, right? I mean, obviously. Okay.
Well, primarily, my group is represents the 93rd Pennsylvania, which was from Lemling County.
Okay.
But when we have to every once in a while, we have to galvanize, and we portray the 13th Mississippi.
Oh, come on. That's my least favorite.
Well, it's interesting that a few years ago, when they did the 150th of Fredericksburg, it's the way the registration went that the Union, the spots for Union got filled up really quick, and then they had all they needed. So it's Confederate registration was open. So there was a few guys from the unit that were there, and they would have been 93rd, but the rest of us would have had to go as Confederates because of the way registration went. So we could have portrayed the 13th Mississippi. What's interesting, they were right along the river when the Union attacked the city.
Oh, really?
So the 93rd would have come across the 13th, so we would have been able to fight our own guys.
Man, can you imagine if you were able to be in both, how awesome that day would have been at the same time?
But unfortunately, I didn't get to go because it was late, and it was also in December.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just slightly cold.
Those are all good excuses for missing a war. Ask Napoleon.
Most of the battle?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, most of the battles in the Civil War did not take place in the late fall or winter. Those were the exceptions. The exceptions would have been Cedar Creek, which is in October, and Fredericksburg, which was in December. I think the latest of usually the battles was September.
Yeah.
And then they would go into winter quarters, and they would resume in the spring.
See, and that's part of it. And one of the things that we have to remember when we're talking about history is that seasons did play a huge thing into the military maneuverings. One of the reasons being you don't want part of your line to slip and fall as you're advancing in a purely straight line towards people shooting at you. I mean, it's just really embarrassing when someone slips and falls.
Well, there's also the weapons. Because you have to remember that it wasn't until midway through the Civil War that they were actually coming out with breech-loading rifles or firearms more like what we have now. Because most of the Civil War, they were still using muzzle-loading muskets.
Right, right, yeah.
So, you know, water would be a big problem. It's like you couldn't fight in the rain because it would the powder would get wet.
Yep. That's true, isn't it? Yeah, that's funny. it's not funny, but it's funny to think about now.
It's interesting to think about all the little logistics of it all.
So basically, if you just doused the army that you were fighting in water, you're like, boom, suckers. Yeah, yeah. See?
Well, if you ever seen the cartridges that we have to use, they're what called paper. They use paper ladies. It's like with paper, and the powder and the projectile would be in there. So it's like, you know what happens when paper gets wet.
Yep.
Yep. Don't I ever.
Yeah, so it's like the powder's in there. And that's what they use. It's like the bullets nowadays, like the brass at the end, that's the cap that we, like the cap that we used back then. But it's just, instead of one whole piece, is you have the cartridge, you tear it open, you pour it down, ram it, and then you put the cap on the nipple of the rifle.
Yep.
Stop, you're turning me on, James.
Water gets in there anywhere, you're not going to be able to fire.
That's true. That's true. That's the beauty of it. James, you're getting garbled, actually. So, Jim, we probably shouldn't anyway. We're like almost 10 minutes now, so... Thanks so much for sharing that, and I'd love to hear more about it here in the future. And thanks so much. Appreciate it, man, and appreciate you. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. And that was Jim calling all the way from Pennsylvania, home of the Fighting 13th.
Hershey.
This 93rd.
Not the Hershey. Is it 93rd? I'm sorry. I have a lot of numbers.
13th was Mississippi.
The 13th was the Mississippi, the 93rd. The Fighting 93rd and the Fighting 92nd. I bet you there was a 92nd.
I'm sure that they tend to number.
I don't know.
You don't know.
You've seen the way the streets are designed here in Denver. It makes no damn sense at all.
Yeah, but we're weird.
Yeah, that's true. We are weird. That's weird. Hey, I know a place that wasn't touched by the Civil War. Well, that one anyway. Hawaii. Let's go to Julie in Hawaii. Julie, are you there?
I certainly am.
Wonderful. Now, I got to warn you, this is not after dark yet.
I know it's not after dark.
I'm just checking.
I'm not sure what the criteria is. Give me the criteria for after dark and now.
Okay, well, criteria for after dark is if you...
naughty.
Yeah, if you're wanting to go that direction, okay? But generally, we try to skew PG-13 for this. We just ask for no overuse of negative words or no over the top ridiculous sensual imagery or anything in poetry.
Oh, this is not sensual at all. It's just kind of dark.
Oh, dark's fine. Yeah. My middle name
okay,
is Dark.
Good. I usually don't write dark, but I wrote this one the other day. Lord knows why.
All right, take the stage.
Mahalo. It's called No Hesitation Marks. Someday,
when I have nothing better to do, I shall sit upon this thin slate ledge, pumping my feet as if on a swing, taking in the world around me, empty air. No downward glance, no chance of vertigo. Groans and pebbles raging beneath my very being shall verify my progress, pumping back, then forth, creak, then groan, humming with anticipation. And when the ledge breaks and I finally do fall, I shall pull the blade from my shirt pocket and slip my wrist, just so everyone knows it wasn't an accident and I wasn't afraid.
I thought that was really cool. What do you think, Christine? She's giving you a round of applause, Julie.
Well, it's really dark, but it's, you know.
You know, it's, no, I really did enjoy it. JT, what'd you think?
I enjoyed it as well. Yeah, it's probably darker for you, but it's not dark as far as what I'm used to thinking of.
he knows me.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm the fairies and flowers gal.
Perfectly fine.
That's okay.
And sometimes even fairies and flowers need to go a little dark.
That's true. You know, and then when you're doing a show with when you're doing a show with a guy like me, I have two middle names. One's Danger and one's Dark. So I'm Michael Danger Dark.
I love it. Thank you.
I feel edgy.
I think Dark Danger would be better, but that's okay. Michael Dark Danger.
I know. Someone screwed up the order, so it's kind of like always the bridesmaid, never the bride, you know?
Yeah, I get that one.
You look horrible in a dress.
Well, you know, that's probably working against me.
Are you sure he would look horrible in a dress?
I've seen him in a dress.
I got to tell you, Julie, I've done a fair amount of kind of like vaudeville-style performing before, and there was a time where, as a joke, of course, with two other guys, I would do a bit. We were dressed up like sisters, and I am the ugliest woman I have ever seen in my life. I'm like a redheaded Carol Channing with a beard. It just doesn't it doesn't play.
That was an excellent visual.
it is pretty accurate, I have to be honest.
Well, I tell you what, you guys got to come over here, and you got to go on what they call the booze cruise.
The booze
and
cruise?
And then they dress you up in grass skirts and coconut bras, and you get to dance around the whole little boat.
So what if I show up in coconut bras and grass skirts?
Preempt the whole thing. Like, totally sober.
You'll be three steps ahead that way.
Oh, three steps and about four cocktails behind. All right. Oh. Julie, thanks so much. And
hey, thank you guys very much.
You got
can
it.
Can I put in a plug for a website?
Well, sure. Let's just do it.
Okay, just everybody that wants to write some poetry and share with good friends, poetry, music, art, it's all free. No ads, nothing like that. My son was a sweetheart and gave it to me as a present. It's called compositioncentral.com.
Oh, okay, cool. Composition
Central.com.
Okay.
And it's just a place for everybody to share.
Very cool. That's very, very nice of you. Awesome. Okay. Well, we're happy to have you do that one. Generally, if it's like my mom's pies or something crazy, we'll say no. But that one we can get behind. So, okay. Well, thank you so much, Julie.
My pleasure. You guys take care.
All right. You too. We'll talk to you soon. And
it's okay.
Good night.
It's as simple. All you have to do is just respond.
I scrambled my brain, JT.
I have not seen Michael just go higgakurgur for a long time. I saw a little smoke come out of the ears.
Come
on. I saw some smoke there.
It's totally wrong for me to want to respond by going,
that's a totally different continent.
Totally different. It means nothing. It has nothing to do with anything. This is all my fault.
Oh, wow.
Let's go. Christine, are you? Breathe, Christine. Breathe.
All of a sudden,
oxygen is important for survival.
All I can see you starting to do is, she said that just, Meli Kaliki Maka is a thing.
Hey, you know what? That actually probably would have been better than what I did.
Probably could have.
You know, that's really the truth. All right, cool. Let's go to Eric in Texas.
There he is.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Doing good.
All right, wonderful. Now, where around in Texas are you calling from?
Waynesboro, Texas.
Where is that? Where is that located?
It's in East Texas. It's near a couple cities, Tyler, Texas.
Okay.
About 45 minutes away from there, two hours away from Dallas.
All right. Yeah, that's a big state, man. I was just in Fort Worth a little bit over a month ago.
Yeah, about a month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. My dad and I were actually talking about something he did with my mom a long time ago. I'm actually going to talk to her and see if she wants to go with me. And you probably know what it is, Shakespeare in the Park.
Oh, wonderful.
Goes into Fort Worth. I don't know exactly when I'm going to have the money. I don't have a vehicle, so I'm going to take a train or a bus, which doesn't bother me. I've done it before.
Sure.
And it's just one way to get there, man. It's better than me walking. So.
Oh, yeah. Walking to Fort Worth? Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. I'd probably die or pass up. Too fat for that.
Yeah, there's some serious drivers on those highways, man.
Yeah, that too. They'd be swerving in and out on that. Trying to hit me, you know, trying to kill a pedestrian or something.
Get a truck! Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Come on, let's go. Right. But you got to watch out for hitchhikers, and you got to watch out for the person that picks you up too.
Yeah,
nowadays.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I think everybody's just
because.
Yeah.
Because you can, you know, it's dangerous both ways. I mean, I'm not saying that. If I get picked up by somebody, someone's actually going to kill me or rape me or whatever, you know.
Well, one would hope
I don't
not.
Really think that's actually going to happen. But
no.
Hypothetically, it could happen. And the hitchhiker could kill you, too.
Yep. You know, and that, or it could be the or it could be the person that no one even knows is there, hanging on the ceiling of the truck, you know, just ninja'd out.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
They just drop at any moment. You wouldn't know. I mean, honestly, I think maybe the best answer sometimes is, you know, carrying a cattle prod. But you're kind of have the attitude you're singing "What a Wonderful World" at the same time. You know, it's kind of like
that's right.
Yeah,
yeah. Actually, in a small town like Waynesboro, it's called Quitman. It's a town of I think like 2,000 people or something.
Yeah,
but not a lot of people. But anyways, when I came back from the Navy, back in 2009, I came back and I was working with my dad actually, or my stepdad. He adopted me whenever I was two. Mm. But I was working with him doing construction, and we stopped at this convenience store that I used to go to all the time when I was a kid, and it was 24-hour, and it was open 24 hours. And then, lo and behold, the city council got together, and they decided they didn't want that anymore. So they made that convenience store close at 10, which really sucks because it was the only store really close that was open, you know, all around. Every day. But what was weird was I saw this old dude, and he was going inside the convenience store, and he had a jacket on, and I thought he was just zipping up his jacket because it was cold outside. And when I went, this was a while back, and this dude had a machete, and he had his machete inside his jacket. He was zipping up the machete in his jacket. And I was like, whoa, there's something wrong with that guy, or maybe he was just protecting himself, you know? I mean... Yeah.
Wow.
So, but yeah, it's wild. Sorry, I haven't been on the show. Been doing lots of things.
Hey, it's all right, man. It's all right.
But I got a piece. Actually, I got two, but I'm just gonna read one. My second one isn't all the way written out yet. I'm finally started writing my poems on paper again. I'm doing an open mic night here actually. Every third Friday. It's a live open mic, and if you guys are interested, it's actually on YouTube, and you can listen to me preach my nonsense, if you want to say that, and just jokingly, but read my stuff, and there's other people there, too. There's a guy, I call him an unruly cowboy hippie. He's like 50 or 60. He's retired. He's hilarious. He likes cowboy poetry, and he actually wrote a play back in the 70s about, I think it was Doc Holliday or Wyatt Earp. I can't remember exactly who it was. Anyways, he did a lot of research on it. And basically it was just him and an interviewer in the play. And there was one part where he had said something and the hero had actually been asked that, but they said that it was racist. And it was Negro was the word. And the producer told him, hey, you need to change that because it's racist. And he's like, that's one, that's what they were called. Plus, that actually happened, you know, in his study. So,
yeah.
Because there was a thing that said something about, you like to kill Negroes or something. I can't remember exactly what he said, wow. But something to that extent. And he was, that was actually factual. And it was an interviewer interviewing the one that Wired Oprah or Doc Holliday, I can't remember. But since that was such a big deal, and I was like, geez, because I talked to him about me being censored too all my life as well. So, but yeah, it's been crazy, but I'm doing a lot better. My poem is actually called My Reasons to Live, and you will hear and understand why I'm reading it.
Right.
Next show I'll be on, hopefully next Friday. And the next one's called Voices in My Head. And I don't know if you guys know who this woman is. Her name's Nyla. I forgot what her last name is. She does the show on Thursdays on Speakeasy Cafe. And I told her I'd read this poem, and she told me I should write a poem called Voices in My Head. And so I did.
All right.
I took lots of creativity, but all these are real. I am going to censor myself because I do have some language in here. So,
okay.
I don't know, just to be polite. So it's not real bad, but all right, you guys ready?
All right, we are.
Go for it.
All right. My reasons to live. Since there's no reason to live, then there's no reason to die. Who am I to cause the end or the beginning of either one? Since I am already alive, I am choosing to stay alive and finish out the rest of life until death comes and sucks my life source out of me. I will stand and man up and stop being a pansy and stop reacting and obsessing about all the negative things that occur in my life, realizing even though I have struggled throughout my life, everyone has fought battles with themselves. No longer will I hate and belittle myself, nor call myself a failure in life, neither will I ever consider suicide again, because there are much more pleasures, happinesses, love, great relationships, my love for exploration of nature and oceans too. Don't worry, don't want to lose my nieces and nephews, nor my siblings, neither my family. Don't want to be muted forever. Still want to have a voice until I die. Still have lots to write. Still have lots to write about as well. Still have lots to read. Still have lots to learn. Still have lots to grow. Lots of growing to do as a writer and a human being. Still have lots of goals to achieve. Will always think positively, or at least react positively to negative situations, will not look for others' sympathy, empathy, or even pity of me. I brewed these suicidal thoughts, and I created these storms of negativity to occur in my life, and I need to finally take responsibility for my actions and reactions to everything in my past and even in my present state. I will achieve my goals. I will hope for a better future. And if it never comes, I will remain happy that I am in a better place than most, or that I could be homeless again, or even worse, living with my folks at 31. Now is the time to start changing back into the real me. We'll learn to love life no matter what hardships knock me down. We'll no longer complain about my situations, no matter how bad or negative they are, will change my attitude and my mindset as well. I promise I will never again give up on life or even myself. That's in peace.
That's a very, very powerful piece, Eric. And knowing a bit about, you know, kind of your situation from when we talked before, you know, and having been through something mm-hmm. very, very similar, I would say that it's important to understand that time will ease things as well, as long as you you start pointing yourself in the direction of becoming the person you want to be, you will start to become there and become that thing. And I was even thinking about it last night and thinking about the time I was going through a divorce and everything seemed terrible. And I really contemplated taking my own life a bunch of times there as well. And it came really close. And I really realize now that the way for me to kind of atone for the things that I felt I'd done was to accept it, you know, move on, start becoming the person I want to be. But then also the real atonement kind of comes from storing compassion for when you see other people making mistakes and realizing that, you know, they're doing the best they can and you did too. And it's a softening. You have to own your own forgiveness, I think. I don't think anyone can necessarily give it to you, although it is a big piece of it to ask.
Right. I definitely agree. Thanks so much for having me. And go ahead.
No, let's go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We just had something go off on the table. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, my phone was rattling for some reason. I don't know what's up with that, but I was making some staticky noise. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I don't have great service here. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. The biggest part of me finding that I needed, I had existential angst like forever. But
yeah,
I don't have a set belief or non-belief or whatever about life or anything like that.
Right.
I just kind of believe in myself, and I just live life, you know, second by second, essentially. But, I think that we are our worst enemies, and we have to forgive ourselves, and we have to stop beating the crap out of ourselves, too. I mean, like I was talking about Nyla earlier, real quickly, yeah. She was talking about she had done something, and she had made coffee, and she had heated it up. Or she had made coffee in a coffee pot, and then she had put it somewhere, and she was looking everywhere in her house, and lo and behold, she opened the microwave, and guess where it was?
Yeah,
it was in the microwave. And yeah. She said, "Oh, I'm such a stupid bee, you know," and she's like, "Yeah," she's like, "I know you're like me." Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, I know all about that." But yeah, no, that's cool. I'm glad you didn't go through with it too. And yeah, divorce sucks, and there's lots of hardships throughout life. I mean,
there's a lot of great stuff too, man. I mean, that's the flip side. It really, I mean, it has come afterwards. I can't imagine now when I look back. First thing I think is I can't imagine being married again anymore. And two. And I kind of want to go back and be able to comfort the guy who I was at the time, even though I don't know if I would have taken it, you know. I hope you'll get there too.
Yeah, but I think we all come to some form of midlife crisis. Actually, I've been taught about that when I was a kid too.
We
all come to some form of a battle in life. And if I could, I'd like to read a quote. It's actually from my poem. That's not by me. I'm going to read it real quick. It's about storms of life.
Okay, so let's do that. We'll end the call with that, okay, because we're almost at almost 15 minutes. Right. So we'll do that, Eric. You're the man. Okay. Really appreciate you calling. And go ahead and share the quote, okay?
Okay. Just give me 2 seconds. Let me get
it. Oh, yeah, no problem. I didn't mean to dump it on you too early, man.
All right.
giving them thinking music.
Or yeah.
Processing music.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just better than that.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go.
So, all right, this is a quote by, I'm not going to pronounce it right. Don't try. You probably know who he is. Fanor de Balzac. That's his name. That's his voice says, "During the great storms of our lives, we imitate those captains who jettison their weightiest cargo." That's end quote.
Oh, I like that one very, very much.
Thank you, sir.
Eric, thank you, man. And I hope you get to Shakespeare in the Park, and we hope to talk to you next Friday, okay?
Yes, sir. Thanks so much. I'll keep you guys updated. I got to look up dates and times for all that. I want to go. My dad said it's very artsy-fartsy in Fort Worth, and I like to go hang around artsy-fartsy people, of course. But there's bars and art museums and all sorts of jazz, so this will be cool.
Do it, man.
So check it out.
Do it for sure.
I'll let you guys know when that actually happens. I got to save money to do that, of course.
I get it. It'll be worth it, though, I promise.
Yep. Yeah, no, I will, yeah. But thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm going to stick around for the rest of the show.
Sounds great.
And I'll be on next Friday. So
okay.
The third Friday, I might be a little late. My open mic night is from 6 to 7.
No worries,
and normally,
man.
I go to karaoke with my friends from that.
Okay.
At the natural bar.
Well, just give us a call when you're ready, man. Okay.
All right, I will.
We'll talk to you then, buddy.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Yeah,
and
take care. Bye.
You too. And that was Eric calling from Texas. Man, it's an intense piece.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just quickly, we'll head over to Stan in Alabama. All right, 1 second. Sorry about that, JT. All right, Stan, are you there? Stan, are you there? Oh, no, we're having that thing again. All right, well, JT's typing, so it might be that we're having that Skype issue again. I think there might be a certain amount of time. Stan, if you can hear us, just hang up and call back. What are you typing in? We Stan?
Yeah, we Stan.
What does
that
even mean?
I had a we left in there. I'm sorry.
Oh, so, it's like...
Yeah, it was just left.
Oh, like, I thought it was like a Ric Flair.
No.
Like, okay. All right, if we don't hear from Stan in 10 seconds, we'll just go to Sinister, and then we can try to work Stan in after, okay?
Okay.
All right. Although it looks like he hung up.
Oh, there he is.
And he's calling back in, so he was on. He knew what was going on.
Ready?
Okay, got it.
Go.
All right, Stan, thanks for doing that again. Sorry about that, man.
Yeah, no, this is getting weirder and weirder by the minute.
Well.
I've lost the ability to even send a message out.
Oh, so no one can send a message. Okay, I was wondering what was going on.
Well, I couldn't. I know maybe somebody else could, but my message bar just completely left, so I figured, okay.
Oh, really?
We'll just roll the way it's going and see what happens.
I just saw no one doing anything, so I thought, okay.
That's weird,
yeah. Yeah, that's strange. Anyway, okay, well, we are in the air. We're still broadcasting. I can see that.
Yep.
So, Stan, why don't you share what you got, and then we'll talk after.
All right, that's fair enough. Let's see here. Oh, this will work. This is a quick little piece. It's called Winds of Change. What times of climate change are these? The truth seems as a whisper in the fury of a storm of deceit. The thunder of censorship, the lightning that lies that strike honor. Gale-forced words of disinformation, forcing facts onto reefs of connivance. Yet in the storm's passing, find the whisper still stands. Though but a whisper, it endures. In being heard and shared, it can grow into a shout of wills. From this comes real change. End of poem.
I like that one a lot. That was really cool. What do you think, Christine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was just sitting here listening, and that's cool. Cool. Thanks a lot, Stan.
Hey, my pleasure. And thanks.
Go ahead,
for the format to do this with.
Hey, you got it. You got it. It's our pleasure to do it, and hearing work like yours makes it definitely worthwhile.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Y'all have a pleasant evening.
You too, Stan. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right.
All right.
All right.
And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Sure to know that. I mean, he just threw down tonight. He's done some really good stuff.
Yeah, he has.
Mic drop.
Don't drop the microphones.
Microphones.
Don't drop them or me. Don't do it. Okay. Let's go to Sinister, Missouri. Oh, Sinister. Oh, hey, Sinister, are you there? Oh, man. Are we going to have to do this thing again?
Dead air.
It sounds like the... Sinister, if you're listening and you can, hang up, give us a call. Skype, what's going on? I'm wondering, do we need to find another call-in platform? I don't think we need to do that. And it's just, you know,
not yet.
Figure out what Skype's doing. This is just starting to drive me crazy. All right, so we're going to go through this. Hopefully we get Sinister on the line, and we'll kind of figure out what we're doing here in the next minute or so. And then what we'll do is after Sinister, or if we don't get him on the line very shortly, we'll do as well. There he is. Perfect. Let's bring him through. And coming on live, it is Sinister.
You hear me?
We can hear you now, man. Right. Sorry about that.
All right. That's all right.
All right, so you're heading.
What was that?
That's all right, man.
You're cut really bad. Am I cutting out?
No, you're not cutting out. You're not cutting out. All so right, cool. So you are you're ending the return engagement segment. So go ahead and take it. We'll talk after.
That's the ride I was telling you about earlier. A play of theatrics overdue. What is left of a man unable to hold weight? In that, he should find undeniable love. Someone attached to the radiance once found in spotlight's solitary glow. And seeing his own reflection from the dressing room, not but a stranger appears. Unsure, this ensemble before him, just tattered sequences of lunatic rotations. Volatile, these characters, clamoring, static crescendos, void resemblance, any harmony. Not a staged imposition has one seeing playwrights leap past script scenes. His audience, ravenous for a solution to end this monotonous travesty, edged their seats. Like a sweet scent on a warm breeze, the answer of a noose unfurls from trajectory. A clamor of reprieve rushes from the spectators, how their eyes fixed anxiously. It shall be such an ending of glorious theatrical moments, overdue calamity. The play, a wreck so long in progress, will close with grandeur, my life expiring, and peace.
There's that sinister passion. Very cool, man. Very cool.
Thank you.
I think that's a great ending. Yeah.
I do.
So, awesome, man. Great work.
Got me going whimsy now. I don't know where I'm going, but it's interesting.
You don't know where it's going, but there's a, you know, upside down unicorns riding on giraffes wearing hats made by Salvador Dali. I get it. Yeah.
I haven't. I need to go there.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Sinister. Appreciate you as always. And we hope to hear from you maybe during After Dark. Or worst case, next week. All right?
All right, fellas.
All right, man.
And lady.
We'll see.
All right. Thank you, Sinister. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. And that was Sinister calling all the way from Missouri. Finishing up our return engagement segment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to say goodnight from World Poetry Open Mic proper. And we're going to have a definitive cutoff point, and we're going to head into After Dark, in case anyone wanted to share anything that's adult-themed specifically. All right. For myself, from JT, Christine, you can speak for yourself. Do you want to say goodbye? Do you want to say goodnight?
Goodbye, Gracie.
All right. This has been World Poetry Open Mic, the first show of May 2017. Stay tuned for World Poetry Open Mic After Dark.